thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Now, Graham started at the beginning with one of his favourite verses. Do you have a favourite verse or passage? Does anybody? I'm not going to ask you, so you can stick your hand up if you do. Does anybody have a favourite verse or passage? A few. It may be one, I know people are scared to say if you stick your hand up, she'll ask you to say it or something, then you'll forget it. But a favourite verse is often something you've memorised, and maybe you quote it to yourself, or you turn to it maybe quite often, read it over, or you think about it. Well, this evening, I'm going to speak on what is absolutely my favourite passage in the Bible, Psalm 62. This is a psalm that I often think about. I often turn to it and read it through very slowly. I probably do know it off by heart, but I quite often read it anyway. I think about it very often, quite often in bed at night just before I go to sleep. There's a couple of verses and I just say them in my mind and just think about them. If I have visited you in your house, there's a fair chance that I will have read these verses. They have been a huge encouragement and comfort in my life. And the last few weeks in particular, I've just thought a lot about them again, and I just thought this is what I'm going to speak on tonight. So I'm just reading the first 8 verses. Psalm 62. Psalm of David. My soul finds rest in God alone. It's not enough to meditate on. My salvation comes from Him. He alone, look out for that word alone. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Then he asks this question. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence? Oh, they fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. That was David's experience. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. And then he addresses us. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. You might have noticed in this psalm, and if you read it through to the end, it's not a psalm of petition. David is not asking God for anything. And if you were to sum up the theme of this psalm in one word, it would be confidence. It's a psalm that expresses the confidence that David has, not in himself, but in God alone. This confidence that David has in God alone allows David to find rest for his soul. Is that not what the whole world's looking for? Is that not what you're looking for? Rest for your soul. Well, David says, you can have it, but don't look in other places because it's only found in God alone. So I want to spend time this evening looking at 2 aspects of David's confidence in God. Firstly, resting in the security of salvation. And secondly, resting in the season of shaking. So firstly, resting in the security of salvation. Samuel actually mentioned about confidence and how he's gone to Exodus and they've helped him with his confidence. Confidence for public speaking. How confident a person are you? Some of you are like, not at all. Well, it kind of depends what somebody's asking you about, doesn't it? I mean, if you were a surgeon, I would expect, well, particularly if you're operating on me, I would expect if you were a surgeon that you would be totally confident. I mean, you don't want a surgeon who's not totally confident, do you? Who's totally confident they could perform the operation on you that you needed. But I wouldn't be expecting the surgeon to be confident about rearing a herd of cattle. I wouldn't be expecting that. You, if you're a farmer, I would totally expect that you are confident in whatever you do with crops, grow crops and raise cattle and milk them and all the rest of it. But I wouldn't expect that you'd be confident to fly a plane. Another one would be you could do that as well. We're all confident in some things. Things that you have been trained to do. Or things that you have lots of practice and experience to do. We got a bit of work done in our garden over the summer. It was very funny. We hired a wee mini digger and Graham started digging a hole. Well, like 3 hours later, there was like 3 inches dug. It couldn't even work this thing. We got Raymond McKendry, who's had like 100 years experience. Many of them, many hairy experiences. Raymond came in and he got on that digger and he had 50 trees out in a number of hours. And all these holes and trenches and everything. Honestly, it was a work of art. So I would say to Raymond, how confident are you? If I asked Raymond that, if I just said, how confident are you? I can guarantee Raymond would say, I'm not confident. Meaning, I'm not coming up here to speak. Put him in the digger. He's a confident man. I think he knows what he's doing. He told us so many stories about near misses and electric wires, but we'll not go into all of that. We watched the telephone wire in our garden. But confidence. When it comes to salvation, how confident are you? Really? When it comes to salvation, that is such a big issue for so many people, because if I said to you, how confident are you about your salvation? The minute you ask somebody, do you know what they do? They look at their lies and they look at their faults and they look at their feelings. They look at their sins. They look at their character flaws. They look at their weaknesses. And when they start to see all these things in themselves, their confidence begins to drain away. They say, if I was really a Christian, would I still think like that? Would I still act like that? Would I still react like that if I was truly a Christian? And then people say, well, I am a Christian. Yes, I'm not a very good one. I'm trying my best. Is that you? Is that how you would respond? Here in this psalm, David starts off immediately with a note of total confidence. My soul finds rest. That's confidence. That's not worry or fear or stress. But crucially, why he has such confidence. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. Friends, this is the key for your confidence. This is the key. Understanding that our salvation comes from God, not from us, never from us. David, you, me, can only find absolute rest for our souls in one place, and that is in God alone. He is the one who chose you. I often quote that verse, that we were chosen in Christ before the creation of the world. God chose you. There was a moment in your life's experience when God called you, and in that moment he saved you through the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And also, the icing on the cake, he not only chose you, called you, saved you, he will keep you. Hallelujah. Well, I think that's hallelujah anyway. Jesus said, Jesus answered the people, answered Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That, Graham was saying this morning about the Old Testament. That's what David's saying here. He's saying, my salvation comes from God. Jesus said, you want to get to God, it is only through me. And in that wonderful defense of the gospel that Peter gave to the religious leaders, he said, salvation is found on no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Paul said to the Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. No, it's not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. He's given it to you, not by works, so that no one can boast. Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, being confident of this, that he, that is God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to what? This is amazing. God, who started the work, who begun the work in you, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God does not leave tasks unfinished. He started it, he will finish it. That is where our confidence comes. I read to you this evening from the NIV. It doesn't matter what English translation you're using, none of them give a full and literal translation here of the original language, the Hebrew. In the original language, the word that we would translate alone is repeated 6 times. The point is reiterated over and over and over and over and over and over again. It is in God alone that we find rest for our souls. He alone is our salvation. He alone is our rock. He alone is our fortress. Well, we might agree with that in our minds, all of us. We might all agree with it. Sometimes we struggle to believe it in our hearts. Not true? We're so performance orientated. Even in our walk with God, oh, I sinned there. I didn't read my Bible for a few days. Oh, I actually forgot to pray. We're performance orientated. And the consequence of that is that when we feel God, we lose confidence because our focus is on us. Isn't that right? We lose confidence because our eyes are on ourselves, and we think, I said that wrong, or I feel God here, or I did that wrong, or I didn't do what I ought to have done there. And our confidence drains away because we're focused on me, my performance, my achievements. But we need every time to come back and say, my focus needs to be on Jesus, because Jesus paid my debt on the cross completely. Jesus paid for my sins in the past. He paid for my sins today. He has paid for my sins I will do in the future. And we all have sinned today, folks. If you don't think you have sinned today, you're living alone, because if the person lived with you, they would know you had sinned today. It's a fact for us all. We will sin in the future. We don't minimize it. We don't take it lightly, but it's a fact. We struggle with our sinful nature, but it takes nothing away from the fact that Jesus has paid our debt. And that is why we can have total confidence. But when we fail, boy, that old devil, isn't he right there? Isn't he right there accusing you? Isn't he right there pulling you down? Friends, he's on all of our tail whenever we feel the Lord, but we need to remind him that Jesus Christ paid it all, that Jesus defeated him on the cross. Have you ever been on, I'll have a wee drink of water, since I'm going to talk about water. Have you ever been on a very wee boat, like a rowing boat, or a wee fishing boat, a small boat? And our Sunday school trips from Tullygarley Sunday School used to go to Portrush, and we always went out on a wee rowing boat. When I think back on that, I was very young, and how did they allow me on my own sometimes to hire a little rowing boat in that Portrush harbour? Health and safety, you know, there was no life jackets or anything. But if you've ever gone to a wee rowing boat, and you know how it is, you're on a rocker and you're in the pier or something, if the little boat isn't, well, it wouldn't be anchored, would it? It'd be tied up or tethered. If it's not tied up, have you ever tried to step from a pier or a solid rock into a wee boat that isn't tied up? You keep one foot on the pier and you put one foot in the boat. What happens? The boat, the weight of you pushes that boat away. Well, you're in the water with a splash. I read actually a story. James Montgomery Boyce, in one of his sermons, said they had his grandparents had a holiday home somewhere, and the granny was a very heavy woman, and the dad either was taking her out on a fishing trip or bringing her home, and she was doing just that. The boat wasn't tied, and she went to step, and her weight, the boat moved off, and heavy granny went in the water. Well, some Christians do the very same thing. They say they're trusting God. They're on the solid rock. But they try to also trust in other things, in other people. It's like putting your foot into an untethered boat. When your weight hits it, the thing will move away and you just fall with a splash. Trying to keep one foot on the solid rock and then looking to other things. Friends, it doesn't work. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation, your salvation, comes from him. Jesus is the only Savior. And if we put our faith in him alone, he will save us and he will keep us. I'm going to read you the words of a hymn. I absolutely love this hymn. We're going to sing it at the end tonight, a hymn of faith. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me, whisper, that's not in the hymn, tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself, I cannot die. My soul is purchased with his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ, my Saviour and my God. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him, resting in the security of salvation. And secondly, finally, resting in the season of shaking. Now, if you notice there in verse 2, David announced, "He is my fortress, I will never be shaken." Now, by that, David wasn't suggesting that his faith would never be tested or tried, that he wouldn't have difficulties. In fact, just immediately after David makes that assertion that he wouldn't be shaken, he goes on to describe a season of great shaking in his life. But what he was saying was this: I may be tested, I am being tested in fact, but whatever testing I go through, I will remain secure because I am resting in God alone. Each one of us, everyone, will go through seasons of shaking in their lives. Sometimes that shaking is severe. Sometimes it's over a very long, prolonged period. Sometimes it's short. And we may wonder, will I come through this? We may be tempted to doubt the love and the goodness of God. Somebody asked me recently if I could recommend a good book for a young Christian person who's going through a time of great trial, both personally and in their family. And I was thinking through different books, what would be appropriate that might help. Couldn't really think what I would recommend. And I asked Graham, I said, could you recommend something? And he replied, just off the bat, the Bible. He wasn't being facetious, and he wasn't dismissing the many helpful books there are, but he's saying, send the young person to the book of all books. There are many questions about suffering that will never be answered in this life. But when we go to this book, do you know what? We are reminded of the love and the faithfulness of God on every single page. We are reminded of his help and his comfort, because the Bible isn't a book written about God. The Bible's not a book that gives people's opinions about God. The Bible is God's own book that he himself has authored to reveal to us who he is, what he is like, and how he acts in the world and the lives of his people. It's God's book. I love the descriptive language David uses here to describe himself in verse 3. He says, this leaning wall, this tottering fence. Have you ever had a leaning wall or a tottering fence in your garden? I've got a tottering fence. Well, it's basically over-tottered. It's tottered too far. Wood has rotted over the years. Maybe you have a fence and panels. Storm comes, the panels are hanging off. Maybe you've got a wall, some cracks in it. Plants pushing against it. Foundations undermined. Looks like it's going to keel over. But if you read this verse, how David describes himself as a leaning wall, tottering fence. If you read it in the context of what he's saying here, David is not saying, oh, I'm really worried because I'm just a leaning wall, I'm just a tottering fence, and you know what? The next gust of wind that comes is going to blow me right over and flatten me. That is not what David's saying here. This is a psalm, theme word, confidence. David's doing two things when he calls himself a leaning wall and a tottering fence. He is saying and admitting to outsiders, that's how it looks. That's how it looks. It looks like he's on the verge of collapse. So if they keep up their assault on him, they'll be able to topple him. That's what he's saying. They think that. And he's admitting that in himself, he actually is a leaning wall and a tottering fence. But that's not the focus of Psalm 62. He comes right back to the central point of the whole psalm, which is total confidence. God is my rock. God is my fortress. God is my refuge. God alone. If you're depending on yourself, there is every possibility that you will be utterly flattened by the storms of life. But when you build on the foundation of God alone, yes, friend, you may be shaken. You may be. But you will not fall. When I was just down here before the meeting, just praying and going over the sermon, when I was reading that bit out, I was just reminded of Psalm 46 about God being our refuge and help and a very present help in trouble. And there's a verse in there that says, "She will not fall." You might want to read that when you go home. And it goes on to say, "Be still and know that I am God." If David was anything, he was realistic. You read the Psalms, David was realistic. He was honest. He knew how temperamental we are sometimes even in our faith. He was vulnerable. And that's why in verses 5-7, he re-emphasizes to himself, and he speaks to himself. You can see it there in verse 5. He says, but at the beginning he said, "My soul finds rest." But in verse 5, speaking to himself, he says, "Find rest, soul. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone." Take your eyes off everything that's happening to you. Put your eyes on the Lord. Isn't that a challenge? Challenge to us all. What when somebody criticizes us, or when somebody slanders us or tarnishes our character in some way? Is that not the easiest thing to allow that to absolutely dominate your thinking? If you've ever had it, you'll know it is. They mull it over again and again. Human instinct, you want to put the record straight. But David reminds himself and us, focus on God. Leave it with God. You know, in David's case here, it was an assault on his character. Somebody pretending to be a friend, but they were lying about him behind his back. Character assassination. His reputation was being destroyed. But David didn't feel the need to defend himself, to answer every allegation, or to overturn every lie. David says, "My salvation and my honor depends on God." Maybe you're in a situation, or you have been, where lies, serious lies, have been told about you. Somebody has trashed your reputation to other people. Your natural reaction is to go over it and over it and over it. Because most of us have been there. Go over it. Your next natural reaction is to defend yourself, to go to this one and that one and tell them your side of the story. Put the record straight. David exhorts us to do something completely different in verse 8. He doesn't say, run to this one, run to that one. He says, run to God. Run to God. Pour out your hearts to him, O people. God knows it all. God sees it all. God knows every motive. God knows every lie that's been spoken about you. God knows the full story. And he's your refuge. He alone is your refuge. Pour out your heart to him in full confidence that he's on your side. He's on your side. He is your honor. Friends, don't try to defend your honor to everybody and anybody. Your salvation and your honor depend on God. I love that. Verse 8, I finish with this. When David speaks to us and exhorts us to trust in God, to pour out our hearts to him, David is speaking from the depths of his own experience. Not going to talk about it tonight, but King Saul trashed David's reputation. He cruelly treated him. He tried to kill him. David's own son, Absalom, rose up against him, trashed David's reputation, tried to take everything from him. David says, oh, my salvation and my honor depend on God. You try to defend yourself. You try to tell everybody. There's no rest. I'll tell you, there's no rest. There's stress. There's fear. There's worry. My soul finds rest. Rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. David proved God to be utterly trustworthy, totally faithful, totally true. That's what a good testimony does. It doesn't leave us thinking about the person, how amazing they are, what great experiences they've had. A great testimony leaves you thinking, how great is our God? And a great sermon should do the same. No wonder David exhorts us to pour out our hearts to him silently, with tears, with weeping, whatever way, just pour it out and then rest in eager expectation that God knows it all and your life, your situation is in his hands. Let's pray. Lord, what can we say apart from thank you for rescuing us? And I pray, Lord, if any in this meeting tonight who do not know you, who do not know that rest for their souls, they don't know your glorious salvation, that tonight they would put their trust in you. Reach out and ask you, Jesus, to be their Savior. For those who are being tested severely at this time, I pray, Lord, that they would just pour out their heart to you, knowing, O God, that their life is in your hands. And we say it again, O Lord, my soul finds rest in you alone. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.